Well, grace and mercy and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. So we heard in the gospel reading these words: a man named Simeon was in Jerusalem. He lived an honorable and devout life. He was waiting for the one who would comfort Israel. Waiting is something especially we Americans aren't real keen on. We don't like to do that a lot. We're all about, I want it now or slightly faster, right? But we always end up waiting. We wait in lines, we wait in the doctor's office, we're always waiting for the installer or the repairman to show up, and we just don't like it. We get impatient, and it all seems like we're wasting so much time. But the whole season of Advent is about nothing else but waiting. Waiting for Christmas, making sure we don't celebrate too soon. The problem is, all of that waiting is going on while the world is pushing Christmas earlier and earlier. I think I saw Christmas decorations up already in September this year, which is, you know, a little before December, right? These stores have Christmas decorations up as fast as they can. And that's because the world doesn't like waiting. They don't want to wait for Black Friday, that big spending day of the year. They don't want to wait for Christmas to show up. They want it all right now. Advent is 4 weeks of looking forward, looking back, waiting to celebrate, anticipating. Why do we do all that? Well, because waiting is something that can actually be good for you. It can teach you patience. It can be a time of preparation and reflection. It can be a time for you to readjust and realign yourself. But then the waiting is over, and it's time to celebrate. When we finally reach the front of the line, when our number is finally called, when we finally hear that knock on the door, we know it's our time. It's our turn. That's what Christmas is about. It's our turn to step up and take our turn at peeking in the manger to see the promise fulfilled. With the arrival of Christmas, our waiting is over, and we get to rejoice and celebrate. So today is the first Sunday of the Christmas season. And the readings assigned for the Sunday, like I said earlier, include the reading about Simeon. His account in Scripture is a good one to hear at Christmas time, because he's a real Advent man, right? He's the real waiting man. He was waiting for the one who would comfort Israel. And the Bible says the Holy Spirit was with him and had told him that he would not die until he had seen the Messiah. So just imagine what it must have been like to live like that. Waiting. Every morning wondering, is this the day? Every night going to bed knowing you're going to wake up safe and sound, because it wasn't, right? But then his waiting's finally over. When, after probably having seen hundreds, maybe thousands of babies brought into the temple as the law of God commands, he finally receives the real Christmas present, right? Christ Mass. We have all this Latin in the church that sometimes gets lost. Christ Mass is Latin for Christ celebration, the celebration of the Christ child. He got the real Christmas present. He actually got to hold that child in his arms. Can you imagine the excitement that he feels as he takes this eight-day-old baby boy in his arms, knowing that he has now seen the promised one, the one who would comfort Israel. This baby is the one who would give peace and hope. This baby is the one who would rescue us from our slavery to sin. This baby is the long-awaited one, the Redeemer, promised by God from the beginning and spoken of throughout the entire Old Testament, promised through those prophets. The wait for Simeon was finally over, and he's now ready to depart in peace, to die. He's ready to see his Lord. Simeon unwraps his present. Now, if he was actually the guy, if he was a priest, we don't actually know. He was the guy who actually did the the circumcision and the dedication of the child, excuse me, he would have unwrapped him physically, but in a more as an example, he unwraps him metaphorically as well. He unwraps the meaning of the child and what this child will do and the effect that this child will have on the world with what he says. This child is God's salvation. He is a light that will reveal salvation to the nations and bring glory to his people Israel. But he also says this child is the reason that many in Israel will be condemned and others will be saved. He will be a sign that will expose the thoughts of those who reject him, and a sword will pierce your heart, he tells Mary. Woo, how's that for a happy Christmas message? There's some good stuff in there, but there's a lot of doom and gloom. That sounds like some people are getting coal in their stocking. Simeon finally gets his present after so much waiting. He's certainly filled with joy. And what do we hear from him as he unwraps this child? We hear of good things, salvation, light, revelation, and glory, but also of opposition and rejection and sadness and the revealing of those secret thoughts we sometimes have we wouldn't want people to know. So what does all of that mean? Well, we'd like Simeon to explain more, but the problem is there isn't any more. That's all Simeon says. Everything we know about him was read to you in the gospel reading today. From there, he disappears into recorded history. He fades back into the annals of time, and we never hear from him again. We do have an advantage, however, in being able to look back at seeing what for him was a future yet to come. We do know what Simeon's words mean because we know what would eventually happen to this child and what this child would eventually do. This child, he is the light of God. But the light hurts our eyes because human nature is we kind of like to hide in the shadows, to kind of lurk in the dark areas of our sin. We're not excited about being out in the light where everything's exposed, but Jesus is that light that does expose everything. Jesus is the glory of God, but he didn't come in so much glory, right? His glory is really revealed in how he came to serve, in lowliness and in humility, and in being nailed to a cross. He is the revealer of God, but he's also the revealer of our sin. And that's why he was opposed and rejected. Because people don't like those things exposed or talked about or pointed out to anyone else. He's our salvation, but he was rejected by many because it's sort of human nature to want to do it ourselves. Of course, we know we can't save ourselves. That doesn't mean we sometimes don't try. But all that Simeon said came true. Because of Jesus, many in Israel did rise. And many did fall. The thoughts of many hearts are revealed by him, even still today, through what we confess of him publicly with our words and deeds. But so what do we confess? Well, first, we did it at the beginning of the service, right? We confess that we are sinful and unclean. We confess that we deserve punishment for our sins. We confess that we need comfort and forgiveness and a rescuer. We also confess that we are modern-day Simeons because we're not only waiting for our comfort, forgiveness, and rescue, but we get to acknowledge, like he did, that it has come. See, our waiting like Simeons is over. You and I had the same promise and received the same fulfillment of that promise that Simeon did. Simeon was promised he wouldn't die until he had seen the Messiah, and you have that same promise. We confess that we do see him, and have seen him, and have touched him as he comes to us humbly and lowly like he did to Simeon. What did Simeon see? Simeon saw a baby that looked really just like any other baby, and yet by faith he knew this was no ordinary baby. This was his Savior, the Redeemer of the world. We look and what do we see? We look in a book and we just see words. They don't look like any other different words, and yet we know that this is God's holy word, right? We look and we see simple water in a bowl. It looks like plain, ordinary water, but with the word of God, it's not something plain and ordinary. It's something special. We, when we celebrate the Lord's Supper, have simple bread and wine, nothing fancy about either one of them, and yet we know there's something profoundly wonderful when that is given to us. We get to come into physical contact with our Savior and our Lord. Jesus still comes to us today, just as he came to Simeon. Our waiting is over. So what are we waiting for? What do you really want? What do you really think you need? Acceptance by God? You already have it. God has already accepted you and made you his child in holy baptism. What are you waiting for? The voice of God to speak to you? You already have it. It was written in every page of the Bible, his holy word, for you to hear with your eyes, if you will. What are you waiting for? Forgiveness? It's already done. You already have it. You are freely and fully forgiven of all sin through faith in Jesus Christ. What are you waiting for? Eternal life? It's already yours. What are we waiting for? To actually see and touch and feel God physically? You get that when we celebrate the Lord's Supper, as we drink his blood and eat his body in Holy Communion. What are we waiting for that God has not already given us? The answer is nothing. He's already given us everything. God our Father has already given us all that we need. Our Advent waiting is over. Our Christmas present, our Savior, has come, and it's a time to rejoice and celebrate. Since we are modern day Simeons, we sing Simeon's song. And as I said at the beginning of the service, we aren't always calling it Simeon's song. It has a different name, the Nunc Dimittis, that's Latin for now depart. We sing it after receiving the Lord's gifts, right after Holy Communion. Like Simeon in this song, we are rejoicing in Christ Jesus our Savior, in our Lord's goodness and graciousness, in his love and forgiveness. And we are acknowledging that we are ready to see him face to face in peace and in joy. You might remember what I said earlier when we read Simeon's words, that when Simeon unwrapped this Christmas present and rejoiced, he spoke not only of good things, but there was some coal, right? There was some coal in the stocking. He spoke of rejection and sadness. Isn't that what we see today? In the church, don't we often have to talk about sin and death and gloomy things like finding coal in your stocking? Aren't we really all nothing but chunks of coal? But that's the wonder, that's the excitement of Christmas. That coal in our stocking is usually just fuel for the fire. But and that's all that you can be outside of Jesus, right? But by God's good grace, the coal is not lit. It's not burning. The fire of God's wrath against our sin is not turned on us. We are made something new through faith in Christ. Because all the mess has been taken to Jesus on the cross, and the stain of our sin, the stain of that coal, is no longer on us. We've been washed clean, made pure through the blood of Jesus, which he shed on the cross. Knowing the gloominess of our condition, of our sin, and the secrets of our hearts, what it doesn't need to put a damper on our celebration. In fact, it should increase our joy all the more, because we know that no matter how messed up we've been in our past, or even maybe where we are now, no matter how deep our guilt or how stubborn we've been, our Christmas gift changes our future forever. So we can, as Simeon said, rise, falling and rising, right? We can fall to our knees before him in repentance, and he raises us up with his forgiveness. Like Simeon, we can and should rejoice because because our waiting is over. What should we learn from this? That we can rejoice not only at Christmas time, but really every time of the year, every day of the year, because we receive these gifts from God every day. Every day you receive his forgiveness. Every day he sends his angels to guard and watch over you. Every day he sustains you in that one true Christian faith that leads you to eternal life. And that continues every day until we are taken from this day to that day which will have no end, and begin enjoying that eternal life gift given to us in its complete fullness. So the only thing we're really left to wait for is his call home. His call to come home and live with him forever. Until that day, we live like Simeon, coming to our Lord's house and unwrapping his gifts for all to see and hear, so that everybody can share in the joy of waiting with us. So when we sing that song of Simeon, remember that we too are waiting for Jesus' glorious return and the wonder of gifts we cannot yet fully imagine, the wonder that we get in Jesus' name. Amen.